Hello, ODAC fans, and welcome to the new ODAC podcast. This is JJ Nekloff. I'm joined by Commissioner Brad Banks. And Brad, we're back after about 10 years of having the original ODAC podcast. We're going to restart it here for the 2024-25 season.
Seems like yesterday, JJ, when we did this the last time. But excited to be back with you and have the opportunity to highlight some of the great things going on in the ODAC, from student athletes, coaches, sports programs, and our institution. So great time to be involved, and looking forward to highlighting it.
Yeah, we've updated some technology. We hopefully sound a little bit better than we did a decade ago.
10 years older, probably.
10 years older, a lot more experience. 50 years of experience between the two of us here. Obviously, you with the majority of that. Not saying you're older, because only 10 years older than me, but still.
I feel old.
That seems to be the number right now. But, folks, we're going to do this, I think, every 2 weeks. We may have a couple special ones as we get through the year, like maybe two. You know, kind of look at the NCAA championship selections when they happen. Maybe that'll be a special podcast if it doesn't fall on our 2 week tenor here that we get moving on. But figure we'll do 2 weeks. We'll have a highlight interview or two each time we do this. We'll maybe come up with a couple of features that will be recurring throughout. Maybe a little ODAC trivia that we have out there. Maybe some spotlight student athletes that we have from 2 weeks of selecting athletes of the week prior to any show that we record. And then, just so you're knowing, this show in particular, we're recording on Wednesday, September 18th. So any information that we talk about that, know that that's happened before the evening games would happen on our midweek Wednesday here. But Brad, as we look through some things, we want to kind of get right into where our feature interview is going to be today. We talked with head coach Brian Steinspring from Roanoke College Football. Obviously an outstanding debut for them coming up from 2 weekends ago.
Yeah, obviously great news for the conference, as Roanoke had been pondering the idea of adding football and, of course, made the decision to do that and have moved forward. First time they played football since 1942 is my understanding, and as you'll hear a little bit from Coach Steinspring, you'll understand it was quite a crowd and something that I think all of the student-athletes, both for Roanoke and Hampton-Sydney's JV team, will be memorable for them for many years to come.
Joined by Coach Steinspring of Roanoke College Football. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. A little rainy here in Roanoke today, but otherwise we're doing fantastic.
Well, I'd say that's the only rain that your football program has seen here so far, is you had an outstanding debut contest a week ago or so, and we want to get into that a little bit with you here a little bit later, but talk us through the process and the excitement of starting a football program, what it was like when you signed your name on the dotted line, and until we get to this point now where you're just about ready to start play games when we got to September 1st. Give us an idea of the process of what it's like to build a program from scratch.
Well, I'm not real sure how long this podcast lasts, but we can be here for a minute on that one if you want to. You know, when we started this thing, I actually started around December. It was just me. I didn't even have an office. I was kind of just a journeyman. Anybody had a spot, I'd sit down. And we just kind of started moving in a direction. I think the first thing I wanted to kind of do was get out of with our administration, the admissions department, the people that are here at Roanoke College that I'm going to be involved with, get around a lot of our coaches that are here to kind of get a lay of the land. And then after that, we really moved, and what could I get off the table? So I wanted to get our uniforms ordered. I wanted to get our helmets ordered. So I got that part done on my own while I was trying to get our first two hires. And I was able to hire two guys that I feel great about, Mike Giannacola and Mitch Ferry, as my two coordinators. They both fit a great profile. They had a Virginia background. They had an ODAC conference background. Recruiters, so there was that they just fit it. And then being around them, I knew this is exactly the route we wanted to go. We all got together on January the 10th, and we had to kind of go with the idea of what's important now, when, how are we going to win? And we really just sit down, okay, we got to start this recruiting process. We got to get busy. So we kind of got ourselves situated a little bit in our offices, moving forward, and then we turned our attention completely to recruiting, because with the idea of moving forward and playing in 6 months or 8 months or whatever it was in January, we had to get going. We had five players at that point in time. No footballs, no tees, nothing. So there was a lot to do. So in between trying to get our equipment, ordering more equipment, practice equipment, football equipment, the whole nine yards. We really took time off and went out and hit the recruiting trail pretty hard. We was able to get some official visits in. We were able to just really harness our energies and our effort levels on that part of it, all the while trying to prep ourselves to get ready for having a season, having practices, getting practice uniforms. We came back from recruiting and we really moved our attention back to that aspect, getting us ready for August 1 or August 15th. And I mean, getting our practice uniforms done. That means getting the dummies, the sleds, what's our locker room going to look like, the logistics of everything. And so it was just a continual process moving forward. And then we were able to step back into the recruiting realm full go again to finish it up. And we were able to get to this point. We had 60 young men step on the field with us this past Sunday. So it was a long process. It was at times nervous. It was challenging, but probably the most rewarding.
Coach, you talk about the transition. Obviously, you're still technically a club program preparing for varsity status next year and playing a full conference schedule in 2025. When you started, in a nutshell, what were your goals entering this year? What did you want to achieve as a program?
Great question. And really, it centers around two things. How are we going to best develop the young men that are coming in here this first year? That was one. A lot of our practice schedules, a lot of what we do right now, continues that base thought. How are we developing our players? What gives us the best way? What is the best schedule? Do we implement more lifting during practice weeks? The off weeks enable us to do more than just football. We can get an extra lift in. We can do things like that to get us a little older than our years. But I think we just really had to – we spent so much time in putting a coaching manual together, a recruiting manual together, a special teams manual. We had to do all these things. And I wanted to be it wasn't what we did at Virginia Tech. It's not what they might did at Bridgewater. Let's take the best that we know and try to make it Roanoke College. And I think when we did that, the schedule's a little different than anything I've ever been a part of, but it fits us. It fits who we are and what we need to be doing. And that's what we really had to focus on. So it became who we are and what do we need to do. That was probably the biggest thing that we had to do, was just how we schedule and develop. And then our goal is quite simply, every day be the best version of ourselves that we could be. That's in our manual. That's right out the get-go. And that's everything we do as a staff and as a team right now, is just – try to move ourselves forward and be the best versions of ourselves that we can possibly be in that moment in time.
Coach, I think it's pretty clear that the local community has responded to you, responded to who you guys are. Take us to Salem Stadium for that first game against Hampton Sydney. More than 9,000 people reported there. That stadium has seen a whole lot of good football over the years with all the Stag Bowls we've hosted with Salem High School and whatnot, and some of the other games that they've had. But I don't know if they've quite seen a crowd like that.
Well, as you know, I've been very clear about this. Part of the allure of Roanoke College or Roanoke College football was this community. Being born and raised 45 minutes from here, spending most of my life within an hour of Roanoke, recruiting Roanoke, taught school in Roanoke. I understood Roanoke and Salem very well, and that was a big part of it. And as you know, I stepped into many a stadium in my lifetime and in a lot of environments. But I promise you, when I came out of the locker room and looked up when our team was getting ready to hit the field, and I looked up, wow, went across. I spoke out clearly, wow. And it was a wow moment for me. I mean, I've been to some Stag games through the years here. I've been to many of a state championship football game here. And to walk out into that environment, to see that many people rallying around, as you said, a club team. I don't know if we're a JV team, club team. I don't know. It doesn't really matter to us. We're just out playing ball and doing the best that we can and playing the game that we all love. So whatever that means is whatever we're doing. But to walk out there in that situation at that time, and I told our players, Don't look up at the stands. Be engaged in the game. Twice, I'm looking in the stands. As the head coach, I'm looking in the stands. I'm trying to take it all in. And I did. And I'm so thankful that I did. I mean, I saw a student body. I saw a band. I saw fans. I saw alumni. I saw our parents. And I just saw people there supporting us. And they stayed through the game. And I mean, at the end of the game, whatever number was in there, the 9,150, they were still there. And like I said, it was an unbelievable experience. It was a great experience for all of us, for our team. You think about this, none of those players, we talked about it in the staff, other than myself, nobody, none of our players, none of our staff have played in front of a crowd like that.
Well, Coach, I would say you're true of the Hampton-Sydney JV program that was playing with you that day, too. That has to be a memorable experience for both squads. When you summing this up, I guess, your feeling on the energy on campus, the enthusiasm behind what you're doing, and I guess how your program complements the athletic department at Roanoke, because I know that that's something that's important to the institution and to you as a person as well.
Well, the fact that we were playing Hannah City, I think it was a perfect day for us to have two ODI schools that this area knows exceptionally well, Hampton Sydney especially as well. So that added to the part of it. But for us as a football team, we understand that we have to carry on the ideals and the values of Roanoke College, and we're complementary within our existing college that has thrived so well here. But we also know that we have a responsibility to be engaged and to be impactful. And one of our goals as a staff is for our football players at the end of the day, our student athletes, to learn to become engaged and impactful in life. And that starts now. And we need to be engaged in our college. We need to be impactful in our college. And our players understood that. We spent a lot of time, so much time in the preseason, developing the culture and how we need this thing to go. And now when you look up, I go through the cafeteria. I got students, congratulations, coach, cafeteria people. I think they all understand that we are really doing the best that we can every single day to represent Roanoke College in a quality way, in a way that everyone can be proud.
Well, Coach, I don't think you can ask for a better start to creating that legacy, creating that new legacy for you on campus with your football program. We look forward to seeing you, not just what you're going to do here the rest of this season, but coming in full go to the ODAC next year with a full ODAC schedule, that full Division III schedule. We want to thank you for joining us here for our first interview of the new ODAC podcast.
Well, we greatly appreciate you having us, and we greatly appreciate everything that you do to make the ODAC conference a great conference to be a part of.
Brad, obviously a lot of excitement with Coach Steinspring there in Roanoke College football, and we got to talk a little bit about who helps us support some of these things that we do. And this portion of the ODAC podcast is courtesy of our corporate champions. The ODAC has several partners that help augment our operations, including sponsorship of awards, our championship environment and atmospheres, ticketing, digital ticketing and fan engagement, and overall enrichment of the student-athlete experience for our conference's membership. We thank our friends with Virginia Farm Bureau Insurance, Field Turf, Lumos, Jostens, Hometown Ticketing, and of course the City of Salem, Virginia for their support. And you know, the City of Salem, Virginia being a little bit of a different one there, being the place where we've hosted over 80 Division III national championships with several more coming up. And we saw the location for a lot of those championships with that Roanoke College football game that Coach Steinspring referenced. We talked to him about over 9,000 fans there. Really an outstanding thing to see in Salem Stadium.
Yeah, a great start to a you know, hopefully an exciting football season in the ODAC. Of course, as we've talked about a little bit before we went on air, you know, a great weekend this past weekend in ODAC football with seven teams going 7-0. You know, in the week's play, so we had some teams that had some great offensive performances. We also had some teams that won some close ones. So it takes some good non-conference play to kind of season and sharpen those squads, both on the offensive defensive side of the ball, as they move forward into conference play here in the next week or two.
Yeah, I'm doubling and tripling down on my numbers from the ODAC football report that I released on Sunday that said the ODAC teams going 7-0 outscored their opponents 282 to 121, which is pretty crazy when you think about three of those games had teams score 50 or more points, with Hampton, Sydney, Bridgewater scoring 80 points, really the third most in ODAC history.
I was going to say, that was a big
record.
One. Yeah.
And W&L hanging 68 on Newport News Apprentice, but then the other four games are decided by 7 points or fewer. So that's where the kind of dichotomy of that big spread and point differential comes in, and then we're looking at four games of under 7 points. Either way, we've got from a 4-4 start in week one to now being 11-4 after the first two weekends, Shenandoah being the team that was idle on its scheduled bye. Everybody is active here coming up, and something that we've been talking about for a little bit here is a new partnership for this season only with the SAA. So we have that set of games coming up this week, with obviously Averett and Ferrum still playing in a non-conference setting in their game, as well as the other six teams in the conference playing in the SAA partnership.
Yeah, you know, the football scheduling is a challenge. It's really difficult to try to come up with opportunities that are close from a geographic proximity and a willingness for opponents to play you for various reasons. Either they don't have opportunities available for non-conference games. Fortunately for us, the SAA was in a position where they had six teams that were willing to participate and trade games in week three. We had six teams at the time, after having a conversation internally about doing that, that were willing to do that. Two had to be on the road. That's Washington, Lee, and Bridgewater. And four of our teams were going to be at home. So, you know, it's been a great partnership, obviously, leading up to this week. I think we're going to have some great games, really balanced games. It'll be interesting because a lot of these teams that are playing each other aren't having an opportunity to see each other during the regular season. Very seldom, if ever, are these teams crossing over and playing each other in the regular season. They may have a playoff game with each other, but they're not playing each other in the regular season. So I'm looking forward to seeing what those results look like this weekend.
Well, and then we've got some exciting things next year coming in that talk about real fast, is that Roanoke College coming into the ODAC full-time for varsity status for football, but also a new associate membership.
Yeah, a new associate membership with Gallaudet coming in. You know, they'll be entering the league next year. They'll be a full member of our conference. Very fortunate to have them at a time when we were losing a football member, actually step forward and adding Roanoke at the same time, and having eight. We'll have eight conference games moving forward beginning next year, and excited to have them join us. So a lot of unique pieces. If you have an opportunity to understand a little bit about what Gallaudet's kind of institutional profile is, it's also intriguing if you had an opportunity to see the AT&T commercial with their helmet that was recently approved by the NCAA for use during the regular season. So excited about that, and reached out to Coach Goldstein this week and told him congratulations on getting that done, because that's a Herculean task sometimes, getting an exemption from the NCAA when it comes to rules.
Well, football, obviously a big sport when it comes to the ODAC profile, especially in Division III, given that we were the home of the Stag Bowl for 25 years and had the 26th game last season, really in the 50th Stag Bowl. But we switch our gears to the other ODAC sports that we have going on right now, which, if nothing else, are as impressive, if not more so, than what we've seen in the football ranks. Obviously, what Randolph Macon did last year in football is outstanding, but we've seen teams in our other fall sports that have really done some outstanding things, going all the way back to Lynchburg winning a women's soccer national championship in 2014, to Virginia Wesleyan being in Salem for one of the national Final Fours a couple of years ago in women's soccer. Men's soccer obviously making headway. Field hockey continuing to move up and up. We've seen Lynchburg having, I think, a 10th national ranking just 2 weeks ago. Right now they're 12th in the country right now. I think that's where the last poll that just came out, that they dropped a spot or dropped two spots down. But Shenandoah continues to be there. Randolph-Macon having a fine season in the field hockey ranks. I think our men's and women's soccer teams are really doing some outstanding things in the standings if you look at how they're playing against the non-conference opponents that we have here right now. And then women's volleyball, they've gotten into some ODAC play here at the moment. Just really one match apiece. Some maybe here in the midweek that are starting to chime up a little bit more. But Washington Lee sitting there at 10-0 after their win on Tuesday night. So they're doing an outstanding job with some big NPI wins, at least when you talk to head coach Brian Snyder, which I happened to be able to do at Randolph-Macon this past weekend when they played in tournament play and beat a good Carnegie Mellon team, beat Salisbury. They've already got a win against, I think, Mary Washington. That they're sitting in there with W's. So really great things they're doing. A Hardin Simmons squad down in Texas who's at 8-3 currently, so that could be a good NPI boost. But then Virginia Wesleyan and Randolph Macon and Bridgewater, some of these in Roanoke right now, these other schools are all sitting there with 8-9 victories. So the volleyball ranks look really healthy right now after the majority of the non-conference schedule. Cross country has been outstanding. You know, we have the Lynchburg teams are both ranked 5th in the country to start the season. We'll see what that looks like as they move throughout. Really early season cross country is hard to really benchmark, if you look, because they're all running non-championship distances, even some 4K out there. When we get toward the end of the year, when we do the ODAC championship, men will be running 8K, women will be going 6K. Washington Lee was also in those national rankings there a little while. But I think that we're going to see, if not some just individuals, but maybe some teams start to creep up those USTFCCCA regional rankings for United States Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association of America. It sounds like something out of Dodgeball from the American Association of Dodgeball Association.
That's a lot of letters.
That's a lot of it here.
Well,
but
you do a wonderful job with all the numbers and everything going on. And I know that it painstakingly on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, actually, during the year, both fall, winter, and spring, you agonize over picking all players of the week, athletes of the week. So one of the things we talked about kind of going into this for the next academic year is challenging you to not only pick every week and highlight those student athletes who you feel like, you know, may have done, obviously they did exemplary work to be selected anyway, but who is the player of the week for the last 2 weeks? So, and that's every sport. So I know that's going to be really tough for you. We're not going to ask you to do it this time around, but we are going to force you to move forward and actually, you know, make a commitment and make a choice. You're going to have to pick a male sport and a female sport winner every week to know who that is. But I know that we wanted to highlight a few accolades that we've given out so far and things that stood out to you going into this podcast.
I think we're going to trademark that right here, the bi-weekly athlete of the week, athlete of the week.
Yes.
Or athlete of the 2 weeks here, and you know we'll bridge some of those, how it works. So for some of you that are paying attention to the sports and the ODAC, we've added some awards coming in this year. We continue to do the honor rolls like we've done in the past and honoring a player of the week, but each of our fall sports has a defensive player of the week in addition to offensive, and the point being to try to bring some recognition to that side of the ball or that side of the field, depending on what sport we're talking about. And then football added a special teams player of the week, which we've never had. So I think we've augmented some of that here a little bit. Means there's a little bit more work to do, so timing could be a little later in the day when things get released for the ODAC fans listening to this. But I think we're going to be more representative of what happens on the field, bring some things in, talk about some more goalkeepers, talk about some different offensive performances that we have from players. And there's a few that I'll highlight, not the athlete of the week here, but just some of them that have been out here early. I mean, Cassidy Morrison from Shenandoah University had two offensive players of the week for field hockey, as well as Valentina Ambrogi-Torres, who's the goalkeeper for Randolph-Macon field hockey. She's had the last two defensive player of the week honors, really doing a nice job for them, having a great start to the season. Shenandoah being nationally ranked, kind of expected to be there, at least in the preseason poll, with Lynchburg just 1 point ahead of them in the ODAC preseason poll. So could it be a fight between the two of them, or is this foreshadowing for Randolph-Macon that maybe they're ready to take a next step? Washington Lee continues to be right there. Who else is ready to make a move in the field hockey ranks? Men's soccer, we have Trey Widrick from Bridgewater, who's won the last two ODAC men's soccer player of the weeks, really not just scoring prolifically, but doing it at the right time as well. He had the only goal in a one-goal game in the first game of this week. The opponent is, I'm losing my head on that right now, about who they actually played, and he got the victory of. I think it was Penn State Harrisburg, maybe. So the people can fact-check me on Twitter, Instagram,
we'll
all that
good stuff.
Take your
word for it.
We may call our other person here, the ODAC, Stacy. Maybe she'll do a Tony Kornheiser, Michael Wilbon-style fact-check of us at the end of the show every week. Maybe we can do something like that. But then look at the men's cross-country world as well. And Bellamy Emanuel is an outstanding runner for Eastern Mennonite. He's won two races. He definitely won this past week at CNU and won two Runner of the Week awards. So really, those are some good people to highlight here. We could highlight a lot of folks throughout the year if we wanted to get into the football ranks for Daniel Eliasek, who's a Randolph-Macon linebacker. He's named to the D3Football.com Team of the Week after what he did with 17 tackles and the forced fumble to end the game against Hobart in overtime for that 14-7 victory. Really low-scoring contest, but he was all over the place. Tackles for loss, think he had an interception as well, and then forces the fumble that wins the game, recovered by one of his teammates there. So there's good things happening up and down the board here right now. I think we're getting awful close to our single discipline equestrian getting ready to get rolling. Tennis is here or there, kind of moving through. I know the Methodist Invitational happened for some of the men's and women's tennis ranks. Some of the ITA regional things will be happening here coming up. So tennis will begin in groove, and golf. The last 2 weeks for men's and women's golf has been a little bit light in the ODAC, but next week, 8 combined tournaments coming up. And 4 on either side of the ledger, 4 men's, 4 women's, and on the men's side, we have the NCAA preview that's going to be coming through with that. So I think that's a big tournament people are going to be looking to. I think in some places it's being called the Flower City preview, the NCAA preview. That's essentially what it is. It's at the NCAA course. But we've had some really good showings already in men's and women's golf. You mentioned Bridgewater here right now. Sophia Martone won the Invitational 2 weeks ago. So she was the Shenandoah Invitational, I should say, up in Cacapon in West Virginia. So she was the ODAC Women's Golfer of the Week. There were no women's golf events this week, but there was the men's Bridgewater Invitational, the Kinder Williams Invitational, and Bridgewater's Walker Gillespie won that, his first collegiate outing. And I'm sorry, he finishes third, so his first ODAC award, I should say, so he didn't win it. But he's a former state champion as well out of Giles County, so looking forward to seeing what he can help bring the Eagles back up the ODAC ranks here, as ODAC men's and women's golf is really, really good, and we're seeing that here even at the start of the fall season, which is a little hit or miss, but really next week it really kicks into gear.
Well, there's, again, so much going on to start the fall. You know, you've got preseason opportunities. You've got tons of non-conference games. You've got busy weekends regarding tournament play where people are trying to get those non-conference games in and minimizing missed class time. I know it's been a tremendous amount for you to juggle. Certainly continue to appreciate everything you're doing in the awards. I know our student athletes do and our institutions do as well, because it's so important that we highlight the accomplishments of our student athletes and try to provide them as best a venue, an opportunity to compete, that it's a memorable experience for them, not just at the championship level, which we strive to do in every sport, but also during the regular season. And I believe our institutions do an impeccable job of doing that and really paying close attention to that. So we'll look forward to kind of the athlete of the last 2 weeks, athletes of the week, for you to have that challenge as we move forward. And look forward to just kind of getting back together and talking about what's good in the ODAC. And there's so much of it, I'm sure we're going to miss the opportunities and many chances that somebody's going to say, man, they should be talking to this person. Well, if you listen to this and you believe that to be true and you know a good story, please email one of us here in the office. It's very easy to find our contact information. Reach out to us. Let us know what would be a great opportunity to hear from somebody. And look forward over the next couple of weeks maybe to touch on a student athlete, talk to a student athlete next week, and then have the opportunity to sit down with Hampton Sydney Athletic Director, hopefully Chad Isley, who will spend some time with us talking a little bit about Division III championships and what's going on with the expansion of Division III championships as we move forward. Tons of changes in a new budget year for Division III, a lot of improvements, and a significant change when it comes to selection criteria. So we'll be watching that closely.
Yeah, I think that'll be the kind of the cool thing of this podcast, is obviously the majority of it is going to be focusing on our members and our schools and our student athletes and whatnot, but we're going to be able to bring you some things. I think we may have a couple features here, like maybe a commissioner's note of the week, you know, whenever we do this, that something he's noticed in the communication or change at the national level, or maybe a regional thing that we can kind of bring to you, that maybe you've had some questions. And I would say, if you've got some of these questions, feel free to send us some notes. I'm happy to, you know, take some things. Maybe we can eventually get to the point here where we have some drop-ins from public opinion, looking for some questions you'd like us to ask and answer. Maybe I'll even put out a poll there that for the next, you know, podcast, next couple podcasts, what are some of the things that you guys would like us to talk about and kind of hear from us about from our angle. So we'll do a student athlete next week. In 2 weeks, I should say, we'll try to figure out which one makes the most sense for us going through with that. Maybe we can even get a couple in there if we want to do a men's sport and a women's sport athlete. And then, like you mentioned, talk to Chad Isley, who's on the champs committee at the NCAA level, and he'll have the best information when we get to what is NPI, what is different about how that worked from the way that at-large selections were chosen in the past. You know, how's it going to work for the experience? What are the travel changes? Are there changes to some of the brackets that we have out there? Hint, hint, there's a big one that, you know, we'll talk about eventually as we go through. But I think we're going to look forward to doing this. It'll bring us some different content here for you guys. And I hope as we get it, you know, kind of based out here a little bit with you all, that we can get a little creative with it down the road, get some things that you guys enjoy. But for starters, we're going to get these first couple episodes out there. You won't be able to find it on the iTunes or the Apple podcast directories or the Spotify just yet, as they want to make sure we get two or three shows in before we pop that out there. But there will be a spot for it on the ODAC website. So if you miss any one of them or only catch an excerpt of, say, on Instagram or Facebook or on Twitter, and you want to get the full episode, we'll make sure you have that availability. So for Brad Bankston, my name is JJ Nekoloff. We'll talk to you next time on the new ODAC podcast.